Welcome to the program God and Country, where we look at social, political, economic events through the lens of the scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. For today's program, I want to take up an issue that has concerned social conservatives in the Christian community for some time. Black America's overwhelming support of the Democratic Party. In the last presidential election, 93% of Black Americans voted Democrat. Only 39% of whites voted Democrat. Now, maybe this was because Black America was identifying with President Obama's race. So let's go back to the 2004 presidential race. There, 88% of blacks voted for the Democrat John Kerry. And John Kerry was a rich white guy from New England. Culturally, he was not similar to Black America at all. So how is it that the vast majority of blacks vote Democrat, even though the Republican Party was the party formed to abolish slavery? And the Democratic Party was the party of white Southerners that opposed equal rights for blacks. And the Democratic Party is for abortion and Planned Parenthood, which was founded by the racist Margaret Sanger, who wanted to eliminate what she called the inferior black race. And abortion is systematically eliminating the black population in America. There are more black babies aborted in New York City than are born. So how is it that the black population in America consistently votes Democrat? Now, this is not just a question I have asked. I have many conservative black pastor friends who shake their head and ask the same question. One black pastor friend of mine tells me that he will go into a black church to speak and ask, "Brother, do you believe that abortion is the taking of an innocent life?" And the response is, "Amen, brother, we need to stop those abortions." And then he will ask, "Brother, do you believe homosexuality is an abomination in the sight of God?" And the response is, "Amen, brother, we need to stop those homosexuals." He will then ask, "Why do you then vote for Democrats who are pro-abortion and pro-same-sex marriage?" Then my black pastor friend tells me that that's when they want to stone him. There is this frustration on the part of many in the black Christian community over this African-American support for the Democratic Party, just like there is frustration in the white community over so many whites voting Democrat. So there are many theories as to why blacks tend to vote Democrat. I have my own theory, and that's what I'd like to throw on the pile today. But first, I'd like to start with a few provisos. First, when I speak about black and white, I only do so because it is the fictional distinction made up by the world. You and I know that there is only one race, the human race. The amount of pigment in people's skin should not be used to classify or distinguish people any more than the size of a person's foot. Racial distinctions are the product of people who walk after the flesh. But since the people of the world are making these distinctions, Christians must acknowledge the error. So that in my referencing Black America, White America, realize that the distinctions themselves are erroneous. My second proviso, all men are sinners. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Romans chapter 3. So there is nothing intrinsically wrong with the black community that is not also intrinsically wrong with the white community. Now, people might display their sin differently, but no one race is any more or any less righteous than another race. And that is foundational to my understanding as to why the black community votes Democrat. It's not as if the black community is any less or more moral than the white community. And I don't even believe it's an education factor, as if the black community votes Democrat because they're less informed. But unfortunately, many theories operate on the assumption of a moral or educational inferiority in the black community. But I believe, and I think I can show this, that the majority in the black community vote Democrat for the same unspiritual reasons why the majority in the white community vote Republican or Democrat. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I will explain why the black community votes Democrat in just a moment. But let me get to my third proviso. In our post-Christian culture, the claim is that a white guy has no right or qualifications to talk about black issues, or a man has no right or qualifications to talk about women issues like abortion, or a middle-class guy has no right or qualifications to talk about poor people. And this is the first thing the opposition cries to discredit their opponent. You have no right to speak outside your demographics. And this is a new thing, and you should realize where it's coming from. Secular humanists don't believe that ethics or morals come from God, but they come from one's environment or one's situation. Therefore, morals and positions are relative. They're created by your culture, and therefore they change according to the culture. So therefore, in the secular humanistic mind, if you're not of a certain cultural upbringing, you can't even appreciate or understand a group's moral values. But the Christian sees this as complete nonsense. People are all made of the same stuff. Right and wrong are universal. And the Bible teaches moral truth, which is to be universally applied to all people. Only secular relativists say that there is no universal moral authority. But the Christian believes that the prophet of God can speak on any subject to any people group. The fourth proviso. Why am I doing this program? Black America and the Democratic Party. It's not because I have a dog in the fight for a particular political party. But there is a spiritual lesson to be had in understanding why people vote the way they vote. As in the Old Testament prophet Micah. In his day, he spoke against the leadership that the people elected. Micah chapter 2, verse 11. If a man walks after wind and falsehood, had told lies and said, I will speak out concerning wine and liquor, he would be the spokesman or the representative for this people. You see, even in Micah's day, the majority of the people, like the majority of people today, elect leaders who will tell them the lies that they want to hear. And in the New Testament, we read the same lesson in 2 Timothy chapter 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. Now, we tend to apply that verse to false teachers, to the institution of the church, but it also applies to false magistrates, politicians who are elected to the institution of government. The majority of people don't want the governing authorities, who are elected ministers of God, they don't want them to act as avengers on the ones who practice evil. Romans 13. They want elected leaders who will enrich them financially. Only a very small percentage of the population votes according to Christian moral values, either in the black community or in the white community. Because people vote their pocketbook. As I heard one commentator once say, most people will not break into their neighbor's bank account and steal their money. But they will elect politicians who will use the power of government to do it for them. So those are my four introductory caveats. Now back to the original question. Why does the black community overwhelmingly vote Democrat when the Republican Party was the party of emancipation? Frederick Douglass, the famous black politician, wrote that I recognize the Republican Party as the anchor of the colored man's political hopes and his ark of safety. He wrote, I am a black dyed-in-the-wool Republican, and I never intend to belong to any other party than the Party of Freedom and Progress. Do you know that it wasn't even until 1924 that blacks were even permitted to attend the Democratic Convention? Did you know that Martin Luther King Jr., although he presented himself as nonpartisan to win the favor of Democrats, it was well known that he personally was a Republican? Yet now, the vast majority of blacks vote Democrat. Something dramatic had to have happened to create this unusual flip. Did the black community change? Did the Republican Party change? Personally, I don't believe that either one changed. Now, Democrats will claim that the Republican Party has changed, that they have become now the party of anti-black racists. But consider the source. One would expect the Democratic Party to say this. In liberal political science classes, you will often hear that the Republican Party lost their way and abandoned their original principles. I disagree with that analysis. I see that as interpreting history through a political bias. To understand the true reason for the switch, let's first break down the election years. After the Civil War, 95% of the blacks voted Republican. In 1912, the Democratic president Woodrow Wilson was the first white Southerner in the White House since the Civil War. But he was a racist. He introduced segregation into the military and into many government offices. He was part of the liberal progressives who believed in white supremacy, the genetic superiority of certain races. So many blacks who voted for President Wilson in 1912 felt betrayed. From about 1904 to about 1924, Democratic presidential candidates received about 10% of the black vote. In 1928, it jumped to about 25%. Alfred Smith was the Democratic candidate, and he was an Irish-Italian Catholic who ran on supporting immigrants and minorities. And this is considered the first shift of blacks into the Democratic Party. And at that time, the Democrats were working hard to attract the black vote because they need to repair their relationship with the black community if they were to ever win elections again. But then in 1932, President Roosevelt got 71% of the black vote. And that event marks the beginning of the change. In 1936, 71% of blacks voted Democrat. 1940, 67%. 1944, 68%. 1948, 77%. 1952, 67%. 56, 61%. 1960, 68%. Then in 1964, 94% of blacks voted Democrat. And the following year, the Democratic president, Lyndon Johnson, signed the 1965 Voting Rights Act. And since then, no Republican presidential candidate has gotten more than 15% of the black vote. But remember that a higher percentage of Republicans voted for the Civil Rights Act than Democrats. But at the time, a Democrat was president. Well, in 1968, 85% of blacks voted Democrat. And it hovered around 85 to 90% until 2008 when Barack Obama ran, and he received 95% of the black vote. And in 2012, he received 93% of the black vote. Now, if you look at these numbers and the issues, what brought blacks into the Democratic Party was economic enticement. Roosevelt promised to give welfare, Social Security, and jobs to minorities. The Great Society, socialism and its redistribution of wealth from the rich to the poor. And in the 1960s, Johnson had his war on poverty and the promise of social welfare programs for black communities. The Democrats understood that people vote according to their financial self-interest. And the Democratic Party has been the party of social welfare for the black community. Class envy, class warfare, government handouts can always gain for a party a large block of new voters. So am I saying that the black community has less noble voting values than the white community? No, because the white community also votes according to their financial self-interest. And for the white community, the conservative, spend less, smaller government, Republican Party is to their economic advantage. Most people are not in a Republican Party because they're Christian social conservatives. They're there because they are economic conservatives. And the white community is economically helped by the Republican Party because the white community controls most of the wealth, the assets, and the businesses in our country. The average white family earns $23,000 more per year than the average black family. The difference in median income is $32,000 per year versus $55,000 per year. So generally speaking, big government is an economic and social burden to white families. On the other hand, big government is seen as an economic and social help to black families. And if the tables were turned economically, more whites would vote big socialism Democrat, and more blacks would vote small government fiscal conservative Republican. It's really all about money for most people. Let me give you one of my own personal examples. I was raised in Bergen County. My parents were Republicans. It wasn't because we were rich country club Republicans. It was because my parents were Christian social conservatives. Even back in the 1960s, before the abortion issue or the same-sex marriage issue, the Democratic Party was the pro-communist, secular humanist party. But in the 1972 elections, the Democratic presidential candidate was George McGovern. And McGovern promised every middle-class family in America a tax credit of $1,000. And my father had a low-paying job and was getting hammered by taxes. And I remember my father saying that he was thinking about voting for George McGovern for president. And I'm 12 years old. And I am shocked that my conservative dad is considering to vote Democrat. And there I learned an important lesson. That no matter what your principles, when it comes to putting food on the table, it is sure easy to justify setting aside your moral principles. Only Jesus, after having no food for 40 days and 40 nights, would not compromise his principles and listen to the devil. And that's why he's a savior. He passed where the sons of Adam failed. And we would all fold under that kind of pressure. Because when push comes to shove, we put our financial welfare, our stomachs, before the law of God, whether we're white or black. Like Satan told God in Job chapter 2, Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch Job's bones and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." But you see, Job defied all statistics. He said, "Lord, even though you slay me, yet will I trust you." He put God before his very life. And only those who are true, mature Christians follow the Lord and put God's law above their very welfare. I had a godly truck driver in my church who told me this. People are willing to vote for pro-choice candidates because these pro-choice candidates also promise a raise in the minimum wage. But this truck driver said to me, "I would rather live in a country where I only earn $2 an hour and the murder of babies is illegal than to live in a country where I make $15 an hour and 1 million babies are put to death every year." Now that is a man who understands the proper hierarchy of God's law. Given my own economic situation, it is really not in my economic self-interest to vote Republican. Given my salary, I would qualify for food stamps, free college tuition for my children, free health care, earned income credits. But by principle, I will not vote to take money from others to enrich myself. I will not vote for a party that is pro-choice and pro-homosexual marriage. So this is the way I understand the situation. Only 5% to 10% of the population in America is truly born-again Christian. They truly follow the Word of God and vote according to God's moral law. That's only 5 to 10% of the white community and 5 to 10% of the black community. I don't believe one community has a higher percentage of Christians than the other community. But since whites make up 87% of America, even just 5% makes for a huge voting bloc of 10 to 15 million white born-again evangelicals. But since blacks make up only 13% of the population, 5% of the black community is a very small voting bloc of only about 2 million. And those conservative pro-life, pro-traditional marriage, value voting black families are lost in the mix. They are even marginalized and persecuted by their peers. But they do exist. And that's why President Obama was only able to get 93% of the black vote in this last election. 7% of the black vote went Republican. There's about 14% of blacks who identify themselves as political conservatives. About 10% say they're Republican. And about 19% of blacks say that they are part of the religious right. But notice that this is just a fraction of the whole. And you and I know that narrow is the way that leads to life. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there be who find it. Matthew 7:13. And that's the real problem here. Few people know the Lord and follow His word. Now, because the Republican Party has taken a stand in favor of God's economic and social laws, the Christian community has gravitated toward the Republican Party, both blacks and whites. Yet the Republican Party has also attracted many more white voters because it so happens that the Christian principles supporting personal property rights and self-reliance and smaller government favor many whites economically. They don't vote Republican because they're godly. They vote Republican because they're voting their wallet. Even in the French Revolution, many non-Christians sided with the Christians against Robespierre and the Reign of Terror. Not because they believed the gospel, but they didn't want their homes and their businesses to be looted and their heads taken off. The white community is just as shallow as the black community in voting their economic self-interest rather than voting according to biblical principles and the law of God. And that's the lesson I want to leave with you today. As Christians, we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind and learn to support and elect leaders who obey the law of God, whether or not it personally benefits us or not in the short term. Because we have faith that by following the Word of God, we will all benefit in the long term. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. You can listen to this program again at godandcountryradio.org. There you can download it, share the link with others. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today. May God fill you with a knowledge of His will. And may you be a discerning, godly Christian in this current age of great deception. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, give us the strength and the wisdom not to be conformed to this world, not to follow our culture, our traditions, our fleshly prejudices, but to live by your word. For man shall not live by bread, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So be it, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.